Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go Milo.
Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer. Hannah,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Lulu Simon.
Sue Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto. We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam, and as usual, you can find me over at the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast for a little while here. And then here I am with Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island on YouTube. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Not a darn stinking thing. What are you doing?
Oh. I'm sitting here enjoying some coffee, and I am really excited to say that we are going back to Atlanta, Georgia for, I think it's one, maybe two shows. I have to double check. At least one show. We are so excited. October 12th. We had an absolutely amazing time in Atlanta last time. I mean, it helped that we went to Swinging Richards. Not going to lie. A little bit of dong will always make things fun. But we had amazing shows there, and we are so psyched to be going back this fall.
Yes,
so,
and in a couple of weeks, we're going to be in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. That's the 25th, 26th, and 27th of July. So come to those. And here's the rest of our shows. I'm going to do it real quick, everybody, so listen for your town. We're going to Charlotte, Nashville, Carrboro, Richmond, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Chicago and Chicago, New York and New York, and then St. Louis, Philadelphia and Philadelphia, and then Seattle, Washington. So we've got tons of live shows coming up. You can find ticket links over at watchwhatcrappens.com. There's a calendar there and ticket links. And that's also where you'll find links to our store, where we've got new shirts this week going up, so go get those. Also, we do two videos per week, two video recaps. We are doing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season finale and Real Housewives of New York reunion part one this week. You can find those videos over at Crappens on Demand on Patreon. And our bonus this week is a breakdown, minute-by-minute breakdown of the Real Housewives of Orange County season trailer that was just dropped last week. So yeah. For all that stuff, go over to watchwhatcrappens.com.
And also, the Atlanta show, the tickets go on sale to the public on Friday. We did sell out last time, so make sure you get your tickets. And, of course, we have a Patreon presale that's actually going to start on Wednesday. So the presale's on Wednesday, public on Friday. Get your tickets while you can.
Okay, so now let's move on to today's recap, which is Real Housewives of Potomac.
Let me just get my butter knife ready. There we go. Okay, got it. Ready.
Well, I'm
ready
glad you have that butter knife in your mother's house. I'm going to assume that's your mother's butter knife.
How dare you? How dare you? This is not my mother's house. This is just a house that my mother subsidizes 95% of. How dare you? Do not bring my mother or butter into this.
Oh, God. So we pick up in the middle of the fight we left off on last week where Candy Ass has just thrown her butter knife at Ashley. and the quesadilla cook-off happening at Chris's and Candy Ass's house.
Yeah, and the timing could not be worse because Chris is trying to make a risotto, and now he has to leave his risotto station to go control his wife. So he goes over, and he's pretty much like grabs her and tries to sort of shove her into a room. It's like trying to tame a wild animal in a little turban, and he's just like trying to shove her in there, and he's like, "Listen, you are letting someone else control your emotions." And she's like, you will not speak to me. It's like, listen.
Yeah, she's going nuts, and she's like, "You will not discuss my mother in my house. You want to talk about Mama's Ashley?" And now's a good time to point out that, you know, Candace gets nasty on this show, but she gets nastier nowhere else than Twitter. I mean, my God, she gets nasty
really?
On there.
What happened?
So, I think Ashley had her baby yesterday, so congratulations on your baby.
Congrats, Ashley.
She's like giving birth, and meanwhile, Candace is on Twitter saying, "You're a roach." Now, this is a misquote because I'm not reading the tweet, but she said something like, "You want to talk about where my money comes from, roach? You make your money on your back to pay for your mama."
And she's putting effort into it.
You know, yeah, and she's giving her shit for paying her mother's rent, and I'm like, yeah, but that's like a nice thing to do as a child, to help your parents out. It's actually a good thing to do, you fucking moron.
It's actually not even, like, honestly, if Candace's mom pays for the house while they're trying to get their shit together, I have no problem with that. I mean, it's fine. I think it's actually a beautiful thing if a parent can provide for a child, you know? But what I have a problem with is Candace acting like she's ready to be independent, and yet it seems like she keeps going back to it. Like, I don't know. It comes off, in Candace's situation, it comes off as spoiled child behavior, not like, you know, the parent is like happy to provide for their child because they like the feeling of being part of their child's life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's like credit, you know, like Capital One gives you money to buy things and you're so happy. But when they call and they're like, "Remember when we gave you that money?" It's like, fuck you, Capital One. Stop fucking calling me every day. You know, so I think that's basically how the mom is feeling right now. She's like, "Why are people yelling, fuck you, Capital One, and hanging up on me?"
Yeah. So at this point, Candace is like, she's in the corner. It's been like round one of the bout is over. Chris is like wiping her down. He's like squirting her with a little bottle and everything. And Karen comes over to give like a pep talk. She's like, sweetheart, you know, you said what you had to say. This is your home. It's your home. I mean, it's got beautiful. I don't see the tube TVs. I don't understand where they are, but it's still your home. And don't reduce yourself to anyone's level. Okay, Chris is here. I'm going to walk away. Like, thanks,
I'm
Karen.
I'm going to step away, but don't let anyone let you step out of who you are.
I'm like, thanks for the micro pep talk, Karen. That was really effective. I'm just gonna step over here to say, you are who you are, and I am what I am. Bye.
I'm gonna go over here and stare at this little contraption that people are talking to that's not wired into the wall. Not really sure what this is. It's a cell phone,
listen,
Karen.
Listen. Listen, Candace, the truth is, you just have to pay attention to the facts. As in, where is your fax machine? I haven't been able to find it around here.
Now listen, if you're mad at the way someone's talking to you in your own home, you tell them to get in their horse and buggy and trot on out of here.
Listen, you have to give someone enough rope that they can hang themselves with it, or, as we do in my house, enough of the phone cord that they can hang themselves with that. Assuming it's not all tangled up, because it can happen with these modern phones.
So Ashley is mad. You know, she's like walking around the room while Candace is getting told to calm down by everybody else over in the corner.
Yeah.
And Giselle, messy ass Giselle's like,
so messy.
There was an issue she spoke of earlier. It speaks to why she thinks your life and your relationship is fraudulent.
Yeah. Basically what she said, well, I mean, it's something that Robin had said. So when, you know, Robin was there. So, you know, Robin, you take the floor. You take it from here. And Robin's like, what?
Oh, she's like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
She's like, well, basically, I thought that I was dreaming, but at L2, Michael walked past us and he said, I'd suck his dick. And now she's like, no, he didn't. She goes, yeah, he did. Were you just so drunk that you're dreaming, Robin?
Cause I'm dreaming of Michael tonight walking by me wanting to suck some dick.
She's It's like, well, it was like the Twilight Zone, but it happened. It's like, well, who was he talking about then? And then we get flashes. It's like, was it Chris? It's like Clue, like trying to figure out what man could Michael want to suck off. It's like, Chris, Ray.
The fact that it might be Ray is like, I don't know how to process that.
Didn't Robin say in the, didn't she say in the beginning of the season that it was Juan?
I assumed it was Juan.
Yeah, I'm still assuming it's Juan.
But I mean, it could be whole, Chris.
I think it was said in this way. Juan, she's like, God, you love my husband too much. I'm sorry he's not coming. He's like, yeah, I love him. I wish he was coming. He's my bro. I'd suck his dick. I'd love that guy. That's what I think happened. Personally.
I mean, Juan is cute. Like, Juan is hot. So, like, it seems like Juan would be a good contender. Because, I mean, who else is there? There's no one left. It's just the three of them, right?
Yeah, but I think he was just saying it like, oh, God, I love that guy. I'd suck his dick. You know, just kidding. I mean, come on, people.
I'm sure. Honestly, with Michael, you can never tell. But I think I would not be surprised if your take is correct. I can imagine that. Like,
well, but then it changes later in this episode, my take. But for this scene, that's this where moment, I'm at. I'm like, sure. Yeah, it just seems like it was a joke or totally, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, with Michael, He has had some sort of, like, you know, questionable behavior when he grabbed Andrew's ass, you know, and can chalk it up to some sort of weird cultural thing or, like, being, like, super at ease with one's own sexuality, you know. But it is, like, some eyebrow-raising behavior. So I could see him making a joke that is, like, is it a joke or is it an in truth, like, truth in jest joke, you know, or truth ingesting, you know, as in, like, he wants to ingest that truth. Very badly.
If that truth was a dick, he would totally want to ingest that truth. So Robin does this thing that I hate. She's like, I don't care if you're straight, gay, or purple. Why do we always get dragged into the purple people's plight? Have you noticed that? That's like a saying. Like, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're purple. Like, why do we have to always be in the same fight as the purple people? I'm sick of fighting for purple people. Let purple people fight their own fucking fights, okay?
Also, it's like it doesn't match the rest of the, like, analogy. Like, gay, straight, purple is not a sexual orientation, okay? Like, there's so many letters in LGBTQ. Like, there's so many. It's like a joke almost, like, about how all the letters in it. Like, choose another letter. Like, why is purple the go-to?
Well, don't worry. Purple will be in there. See, I know. We just keep adding it. It'll be, and you know, it's good. That's a good thing about gayness. It's inclusive, you know? So we'll be LGBTQ2 purple.
I'm attracted to purple, so I'm a purpleist.
But until then, stop bringing purple people up in gay arguments. Pisses me off. Robin!
Meanwhile, Grimace is somewhere crying, like, it felt nice to be included for once.
I know. Finally, someone stands up for me, and then I get pissed on by some podcast.
Teddy Mellencamp in the Grimace costume.
It is, too. I'm accountable for all of the cookies.
So Candace comes back and Chris is like, God damn it, now the risotto is overcooked. I'm like, I don't think it was gonna be. He says it as if it was like his like three Michelin star risotto has now gone to shit. I'm like, I think it's probably okay.
Yeah. And then so Monique's like, hi, I'd like to know whose husband he wanted to suck off. I mean, if it's one of our husbands, I think we should know. Like, God. So then Candace is like, yep, well, I guess you heard. He said he wanted to suck a dick. We all heard it. And now she's like, you're a simpleton. I don't even want to hear from you. A simpleton.
Pulling out the old simpleton card. I'm speaking the truth.
The truth. Like you calling Katie Amistad.
Like she somehow like drags the Amistad thing into it. I was like, I don't know how those two concepts like work, but like Ash is like, whatever, if you're gonna be messy, I'm gonna be messy, and like tenuously link two different arguments together in one.
Yes. So then Ashley's like, you say I'm rude because I talked behind my friend's back, but then you go to Giselle about something you could have talked about to your friends, and you're doing the same thing that I was doing because that's the same thing that I'm gonna do. Yeah. So Giselle's just eating her salad.
And so is Monique. By the way, when the Amistad thing comes up, Monique's just looking at her salad like, does anyone have any dressing? Can we pass the salt? This is delicious food. What was that about Amistad? No, yeah, no, okay. No, I didn't say Amistad. I said pass the French dressing. Thank you.
Yeah. And so Giselle's eating her salad, but she doesn't want the fight to stop so she can keep eating. So she's like, but Ashley, I think that you should address the egregiousness of Michael wanting to suck somebody's dick. Only on this show is that a sentence.
I know.
I think you should address the egregiousness of Michael wanting to suck somebody's dick.
I know. It's like, okay, Rachel Maddow, like, calm down. Like, moderating this, like, the great, like, Housewives debate.
Can we address this egregiousness, please? And Candace is like, I don't care. He is purported to suck penises.
I love this when they start talking formally to make their points, yes. points seem like more important. Like, he is purported. What has transpired is that he is purported to have sucked penises. And where there's smoke, there's penis sucking, okay? And there's been enough smoke in this penis sucking household, all right?
And Ashley's like, you mean this household? That's mom's household? And Kara's just like, Faceball.
And Candace is like, don't you talk about this household. You are disrespectful. I invited you into my home. You can get the fuck out.
Yeah. So Chris has to grab her again. And he's like, sit down, Candace. Just sit down. And then he sits on her to try and keep
like
her down.
Lap dancing. Give me a lap dance while the risotto is like turning into like little burnt balls.
Yeah. And so she keeps wiggling free, and she's like, don't you have anything to do, Ashley? And now she's like, I do. I have plenty of things to do, and I will go do them because she can't have an adult conversation. So Ashley leaves for the first time. Yeah. And then Candace goes, oh, you know what? You can try me in that kangaroo restaurant, but do not try me in my own home. I invited her into my home. I gave her a beverage.
A beverage. Fun fact, this weekend I started watching Love Island, the British one, and I started with season 5 because I don't know why. And there's a girl on there who's trying to make Bev, like as in a beverage, like slang. Like, oh, he's a real Bev. He's a Bev. Oh, he's my Bev. I like him. He's Bev-tastic. It's like, so when she said beverage, I was like, no, don't
I
say
can't
beverage.
Escape it. Love Island, leave me alone.
So, God. Okay, so now, so Ashley's outside, and Giselle goes out there with her, and Giselle is like, she's like, well, so let's talk, though. Did Michael say this thing? And Ashley's like, no, none of it happened, of course not, you know?
Yeah, she's like, she was so wasted, how does she even know what she heard? And Giselle's like, oh, no, she heard it, because Robin co-signed, and Robin wouldn't lie. And they said that when it happened, you knew it happened, and you scurried away. And Katie's behind them, by the way, like cleaning her nails. Yes.
Yeah, Katie, she's doing weird things in the background of every scene. Because, like, I think it was like maybe a little bit after this or before this, during the fight, there was like a shot of Katie in her chair with her head just like cocked over to a side, like her neck muscles just all gave out. She's like, bleh.
Yeah, I think Katie had some edibles or something, because her eyes are half closed in this whole scene. And she's just like cleaning her nails. Like, can we leave now? I get paid for this, right?
Yeah, and Ashley is trying to form this very strange argument where she goes, no one can listen to someone who's still having her rent paid for. Like, oh, what?
She's like, where is her mom anyway? And Giselle's like, well, I don't think that's very nice, Ashley. But by the way, the other day, her mama knocked her upside the head with her purse.
And then Katie's like, I think she wants you to stay. I think she wants you to stay. You should stay.
And then inside it shows Candace like, she better not bring my mother into this again. And cuts back and Katie's like, yeah, stay. And Giselle's like, stay. We'll get her to apologize. Did you just do a knee bend? Okay, let's stretch it out, girl. We've only gotten through salad. We've got a whole night to go.
And then meanwhile, Karen's like, well, you know, if you're gay, cool. If your wife wants you to be your beard, cool. And then they show all these headlines of, like, Michael gay rumors, you know, which was sort of like the production co-signing what Karen is saying, etc.
Karen goes, so, he's fending over a ding-a-ling that wasn't in the room. And Robin goes, yes. And she goes, well, that's hard addiction. That is hard addiction. So he's fiending over a ding-a-ling that was in the room.
Yeah.
This fucking show.
So Giselle brings Ashley and Katie back in. And Giselle's like, see, they've moved on to other topics. See, they're only talking about Michael being possibly gay, but this is different than him wanting to suck someone's dick. Different topic.
So she's like, everybody's back, car. And Candace is like, why is everybody back? Get off of me, Chris. Get off. If you're still talking shit about my mother, get out of my house. Ashley, I think it's very rude of you to step back into her home after she asked you to leave. And Ashley's like, well, there are rumors about my husband, Kern, and I will discuss them here and now.
So then they come up to this agreement that she's going to discuss the rumors and then leave. So then Ashley sits down, and again, now she puts on her like Perry Mason hat, and she's like,
"So in your state of intoxication, you're telling me you are capable of remembering?"
Oh, so now she's an intoxicated drunk who can't remember anything. Mm-mm.
Can you mind your business, Candace?
I am minding my own business.
Mm. I am asking my friend a question.
And Karen's like, mm.
So Ashley's like,
"Will you, Mrs. Robin, well, Miss, elaborate on what supposedly was said when you were too intoxicated to possibly know any English?"
And Robin's like, "Ashley, I wouldn't make that up."
Like, yes, yeah, you did.
So Chris is like, "If I can interject, I don't like to involve myself in women's issues."
Which was like, okay.
But when it was said, Robin and I were both like, "Oh," and Candace is like, "See, he even heard it, and he's a man."
Yeah, and Karen goes, "Hell, you have a man as a witness. We are done. We are done. A man has testified. Case closed."
Now she's like, "It did not happen." Candace is like, "You lie. You were standing there. You heard it."
"So you were so drunk you were laying on the street. Robin was so drunk that she spent 10 months on a house that was supposed to take 2 weeks.
And Karen just starts going, "I'm just going to clap. A man testified. A man. You heard the man. Let's hear it for the boy. Or should I say, let's hear it for the man. The man testimony. Man witness. Man witness."
Oh, so Candace stands up, and Ashley's like, "Just sit down. Grow up." And she's like, "If I need to stand on this table, I will." So she starts crawling on the table, and then Chris takes her out again.
Yeah. It is, for anyone who has never seen Soap Dish, this is about as close as a recreation of a scene as we could ever get. I mean, Candace in the turban, Sally Field style, as she is being pulled out with legs kicking like she did like halfway through during the big twist in that movie. I mean, it was exactly that scene.
Oh my God. And Giselle's like, "Well, Ashley, do you think that it's something that he might say?" And Karen's like, "Listen, there's nothing wrong with being gay. It's cool. Who doesn't love gay people? We
all
love
purple people.
Them. Let's just have the conversation. Say, Michael, you're gay. Yay, gay. Listen, it's no different from being purple. Am I right, everybody?"
Hmm? And Giselle's like, "As girlfriends, if we hear something on the streets, especially the super gay streets, we want to be able to come to you. Just the way Michael might come while sucking someone's dick. That's all I've got to say. That's all I've got to say about that. That's all I've got
to
say."
Yeah, if we hear in the streets that he's cheating, we have to be able to come to you. Not that we heard he's cheating with anyone with a vagina anyway. And Karen's like, "Oh, I know it bothers you, Ashley." She's like, "It would only bother me if it's true." "Well, it would bother me. Ask us to stop, because enough is enough, Ashley. Ask us to stop right now. You've got a job to do. And that job is at home." Like, okay, Karen, thanks for showing. I love when Karen and Giselle are the mature ones in the room.
I know. She's like, "You have to speak to your husband." And Ashley goes,
"You know what the beauty of being me is? I'm in control of me, Candace."
She's like, she just smiles at Candace, like,
"Good,
this evil smile.
Control yourself, because you can't control your man." It's like, "Yes, I can. Like your mom controls you."
And Candace is like, "You know what? Out, out, out." It's like a cat, you know. It's like, out, out, bad cat. Okay, good night, good night, good night, good night, good night, good night. Happy birthday to good night.
Oh, she's like kicking and screaming, and Chris is holding her back. And Ashley's like, "I'm in your mama's house right now." She's like, "And you're about to get out. Good night, Ashley." And she's like, "Tell your mom thank you."
And so Ashley leaves, and Candace just like slams the door behind her. 1, 2, 3, boom, and just slams the door. And then Karen is like, "Robin, I just want to congratulate you for being the bone carrier of this evening." And Robin's like, I thought that was Michael who's the bone carrier, or at least the one who wants to suck it. Heyo, heyo.
Like, let me hug you for that one. That was a good one, Robin. So then Katie gets up, and Monique's like, "I guess we should talk now." So she pulls her aside, and she's like, "Listen, I just wanted to clear stuff up." And Katie goes, "Look, the reason I wear scarves on my head is I don't have air conditioning, and I've been doing my own hair."
I'm like, I don't think the issue is about the scarves, but thank you for informing us about that.
I think she's saying that she's like, listen, I don't have money for air conditioning or wigs, okay, or yeah. hairdressers. So that's it.
So then when Monique and Katie are trying to like hash it out, and they're by the front door, and all of a sudden the door opens and Ashley just walks in. She goes, "Hi there." like it was like normal. And Monique's like, "Why are you back?
I know.
What are you doing here?"
I think they just keep making her go back inside. They're like, "Listen, it took us 5 hours to drive here. You're going back inside."
Yes.
So then Katie's like, "Well, you said Amistad or something," and she's like, "No, the comments and insinuations that have been made to you did not happen." And Katie goes, "Oh, okay."
At which point, Candace comes around the corner and she's like, "You have been told to leave." And Ashley's like, Monique is addressing this. Like, she starts to become like an advocate for Monique in this situation. Like, "Ashley, don't speak to me. Don't speak to me." And then you see Karen going, "Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I've never seen a woman come back in that she's been kicked from someplace that she's been kicked out of. Oh, anti-clap."
I'm going to have to type out some rules and frame them in a Ross Dress for Less frame to give to her to put in her home so she can remember what's proper.
You know what this party needs? Security! Security! Security!
So Chris, once again, comes to pull Candace out of there.
I mean, it's like the TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes cartoon guys with their brooms and stuff, just trying to sweep her away, and she just keeps on coming back onto the screen.
And so Ashley's like, "Okay, bye, everyone. Tell your mom thanks for the great party." And then Candace is like, "Get out." And Ashley goes, "You want me to pop you with a purse? I know you like being popped in the heads with purses."
Get out.
So Katie and Ashley are driving away. And Katie was like, "That was not enjoyable. Okay, let's go to McDonald's."
Honestly, great game plan. So then back at the table, Candace, they are all sitting back down again. And Candace goes, "That was her trying to get me to go off." I'm like, you threw a butter knife at her. You screamed at her. You threw her out of your house 3 times. You tried to climb on the table. Chris had to sit on you and pull you around and like basically do all but throw you into a Hannibal Lecter costume. So, yeah, I think you actually did go off.
Yeah. And Giselle's like, "Well, you have to take accountability." She's like, "No, because hold on, everybody. Welcome to my completely useless origami class where I fold a poster board into a tiny little square to dab my eyes." She's like, "She meant what she said in disrespect. And that is my issue. Do not come into my house and disrespect me." I could have said so much to Ashley. I've always been so supportive of Ashley.
Give me a little credit, why don't you? Don't come into my house and talk shit. I'm like, well, you invited her with the pretty much the express plan to confront her about the Michael rumor. So, I mean,
yeah,
you gotta know.
Feel for you. And if you don't want people confronting you, this is what bugs me on these housewives shows. There's like, "Don't do that in my home." It's like, you're filming in your home. They have to be at work, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just tell someone to skip a shooting day. You know, that's money, okay?
So Karen's like, "Candace, did your mother hit you? Is this true? Is this story true?" And then it gets very serious. And Giselle's like, "You know, Candace is very emotional about her mother. She just got knocked upside the head by a purse."
I said it. And Monique's like, "Yeah, well, I noticed that you're upset with your mom, but you don't give it to your mom. You give it to Ashley instead." And Giselle's like, "Yeah, I mean, if someone had talked about my mom, I wouldn't have gone there." Like, yeah, right. Yeah, Miss Calm Giselle over there.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, that's like the number one, the number one and number two triggers on all of Bravo are like, if you mention mother or child, like, "Don't you dare talk about my child." It's like, all I said was, "Child, you're crazy." You said child, though.
Yeah. And Karen's like, "Well, hurt people. All right, I'm getting paid for this, right?" And Giselle goes, "Yeah, if he wants to suck a dick or two, let him do it."
Yeah. Let the man do it. Which, by the way, true. So, in the car.
Not
so Katie...
really.
Well,
I mean, but okay. I'm glad they're like trying to be more open on this show. They're like, "It's not homophobia. We said purple people. Okay? It's totally fine if he wants to suck a dick."
Just if the honest. Parameters of their relationship are that they are open, then yes, I say let him suck a dick. If it's not,
whatever the boundaries are, whatever the boundaries, who knows? Okay, yeah. I'm not going to take this seriously, people.
All I know is purple people. So then we go back to the car, and Katie's like, so, like, is Michael gay? And she's like, no. Did he say that? No, he didn't. I mean, no, I'm pretty sure he didn't say that. I mean, I don't seem to remember. But, I think he was talking about a private eye. He yeah. wants to see a private eye, a dick, yeah.
And Katie's like, does he hook up with guys? She's like, no. She goes, but then why say suck his dick? She's like, but I don't think he did say it. And Katie goes, maybe it's an Australian thing. And she's like, if I was there, I would remember something like that. And she's like, yeah, why wouldn't Robin call you? Great friend. And so Ashley's like, you're right. Robin was my friend. She is not my real friend. It's like, you do not need to be doing this right now, Ashley. Keep
yeah,
your
Robin,
friends.
Yeah, and Robin was actually being quiet about it. And Giselle who forced her out and, you know. So then we go back.
I mean, in housewife stuff, I get it. Because Robin is sitting here talking about it all season long in her private thing. She's like, well, I'm not going to tell Ashley about it because she's my friend. But you still have been talking about it on national TV and not telling her. You know?
Well, but we also don't know if those interviews were recorded after the fact, you know, like after this fight. They could have very well been recorded after this big fight happened. And then she's like, OK, I'll talk about it. It's
yeah,
possible.
But they've already talked about how this came up. And now Giselle knows at the very least, which she knows it's going to come up yeah. on camera. So she could have like called Ashley and been like, this is about to come up on camera.
Right. Yeah. So Chris is well. But the thing is this, though, the way it came up on camera was that it really should be Giselle because didn't Candace talk about it? Did Candace drop the bomb for the first time? No, Candace dropped the bomb for the first time to Giselle and Robin right before everyone, like it was at this dinner party.
That's
like
true,
before.
Actually. Yeah, that's true. Good
and
point.
That's when Robin was like, oh my God, I heard the same thing, which I think is actually a very natural thing to do, you know?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I don't,
she hadn't talked to Giselle yet about it.
I
take it back.
I actually really don't think Robin is, I think Robin was, believe it or not, trying to be a good friend. So then we go back and Chris is like, ladies and gentlemen, some mushroom risotto. There's a little bit of truffle oil, very modern touch. And we call that umami. So please enjoy.
And Karen just looks at it. Did you see how Karen looks at the risotto? She's like, oh, what is that?
She does that thing where she starts, you know, basically spelling the alphabet with her closed lips, you know, like. Hey.
I always think of it as trying to get like a dog hair off of her mouth. She's just like,
clearing the spinach out of her teeth.
Yeah, she's always got spinach in her teeth.
Security, get the spinach out of my teeth. Thank you.
And Robin's like, well, you go back and forth, and then here you go here, and then you go there, and then there's a contradiction, and then the puzzle starts coming together. What the fuck are you talking about? And Candace is like, can we just have some applause for the chef? Oh, good job. Giselle's like, you don't need to have dinner again, Michael. I mean, Chris, this was a disaster.
So now it's like after the party is done, now it's like back to normal life. So we get a few pops of people doing things. We start with Karen and Ray. They're like having lunch or something. And she's like, I've been so busy with my fragrance and the bottle is taking up a lot of time. I've been looking at bottles and fragrances and bottles. And I'm just giving myself a slow clap right now. Good job, me. Good job.
And Ray's like, how do you improve upon a bottle and a top? Like, seriously.
I have a new idea. We're putting the top on the bottom. So you open up the bottle and it just all flows out. You smell wonderful for days.
Did someone say bottom? I'd suck his dick. Get out of my scene, Michael.
Michael, get out from under this table.
So then Candace is in the bathroom with Chris. All their big scenes are in their bathroom.
I know.
Which is weird. She's like, I have to call my mother. And he's like, just call her. So she calls her mom and she's like, I want you to know we booked an appointment for a family therapist. We're going together.
Yeah. And Dorothy's like, oh, you know, my favorite thing with Dorothy is how she handles her like the reaction whiplash, you know, because she always has like an initial like anger. And then she becomes keenly aware that she's on TV. So she always tries to reel it in like, oh, therapy is wonderful as I am a therapist. And this is my vocation. I support it.
Yeah, sounds great. So then we go to Ashley doing yoga in her house and burning sage. And she's like, yeah, after I left Miss Dorothy's house, I told Michael what was said about him. And he was really pissed. And
Friends just don't do that. He questions why I'm friends with them, and quite frankly, I don't blame him.
He was so mad, he left and went right to a gay bar to prove to everyone that he could be in a gay bar and not suck anyone's dick, and he was there for hours and hours.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So then Chris and Monique are in a bar class, and he's like,
I haven't worked out in a while, and this is going to kick my butt.
By the way, I have to say, one thing I loved watching was Chris Samuels doing Bar Method. That was adorable.
Well, plie, plie, plie.
So basically, Monique just starts gossiping with Chris about the dinner party and the Michael rumor, and he's like,
well, I know he wasn't talking about me.
He was Monique's probably like, yeah, you're too talking... much of a mouthful.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, you're
too much.
Well,
then maybe he was.
He was, oh, stop that. He was probably Ray.
And then he was like, oh, no, I shouldn't even joke about that. He's an older man. It's a lot for him to take in. And then they do like Bar Method. And then afterwards, when the class is done, they clap. And Chris, it turns out that like he is like the Jolly Green Giant, but he also has the most adorable little clap. Did you notice that? He's like, it was so cute. He's like, it was like a little, like a seal. Like, you know, I love Chris.
Chris Samuels. So then Giselle's in the car calling Ashley, and she's like, hello, is this my international pop star?
Giselle goes, I need to check on her. I need to see if Michael came out the closet.
She's terrible. I just tried to ruin her life on camera. Just wanted to see how she's feeling. And Ashley's like, come over here. It's another street you can put your word on. So Giselle goes to meet Ashley outside of her choreography rehearsal for her big gay pride show.
Love and coffee, or coffee and love, coffee and sex, whatever it's called.
And she's like, I needed those endorphins because that was crazy. What happened after I left?
And Giselle's like, well, Karen ran over you with about 10 buses. And said that you're unhappy with really Michael true. Because Michael doesn't love you. And then they cut to what Karen said, and that is not what Karen said. Fucking Giselle, man. I have to say, Giselle is being her usual self, where she's just burning down everybody around her, but I'm finding her much more enjoyable in this role.
Because she's doing it in a way, like, with this like, friendly attitude of, like, I'm just trying to bring everyone together by sowing misinformation around everyone.
It's more fun when she's doing... It's like Bethany on Real Housewives of New York. She's so much more fun when it doesn't actually involve her, because it's so stressful when it actually involves her. It's really more fun when they're in other people's business.
Yeah, I really did not think that Karen was being two-faced. And even if she were... I mean, first of all, Karen really does not like Ashley, which is why she was so happy to, like, that's why when Chris said, yeah, I heard it too, she's like, well, a man has seen it. You know, she's happy to hear any incriminating evidence against Michael, you know?
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't think that Karen was, we've seen Karen come hard for someone, and that was not Karen coming hard for Ashley.
Yeah, and Ashley's like, we went to a salt place together. I can't believe she would do this to me.
She's just as fake and phony as her face and her teeth and her hair and her nails. You name it.
It's like, you're not wrong, but I mean, kind of look around you. You're on a Real Housewives show. Do not start fake body shaming people, okay? Without fake body parts, there would be no housewives.
Yeah. So now, again, Ashley is talking about how Michael is absolutely livid by this. I mean, if I were Michael and it weren't true, I think I'd be like, nope, that's ridiculous.
This is where I started to change because Michael's reaction is not what it should be. You know, if Michael was innocent and joking, he would have said, yeah, I said I love Juan so much I'd suck his dick. I was totally kidding. Why are they taking that and trying to twist it into something, you know, crazy? But instead he's like, nope, didn't say it. I can't believe they would make up lies about me, which makes him look just guilty as fuck.
And it's weird because his normal reaction to stuff is to just like laugh it off and be like, huh, that's ridiculous. You know, I'm just Australian. That's how we say things. And so the fact that he's like all super livid, it does feel a little strange.
Yeah. The lady doth protest too much, as they say. In Shakespeare. Whoa. So Ashley's like, well, the thing I'm more concerned about is Robin, because she didn't have my back as a friend, a person, or a purple person. And Giselle's like, well, maybe, yeah, she wanted to not hurt your feelings. And she's like, oh, well, but then it's okay to use it when it's okay to for it, let it be used as a weapon against me. Or whatever. I'm like, oh, God, the great eggplant rifle of 2019. Come on.
Exactly. Well, but the other thing that was, you know, Ashley was making it sound like Robin was waiting for the right moment to spring it on her to humiliate her at a table. But actually, it was because Giselle put Robin on the spot. Giselle was the one who said, well, there are many rumors that Robin has been spreading amongst the group. Robin, you say it. Why don't you say what happened? Yeah. Robin's like, So, like, it made it seem like Robin was waiting. But no, Robin got totally thrown under the bus by Giselle.
Yes. Which, you know, she deserves it. Because when you're friends with someone like Giselle, and Giselle does that over and over to other people, it's going to happen to you, too. Durr.
Yeah.
So then Giselle's like, look, Ashley, forget if Michael wants a penis. Robin, that's not the issue. Robin is just saying that that's not cool if he wants to cheat. Like, he shouldn't be cheating. We love you. We don't want to see you going through anything negative. And Ashley's like, well, it wasn't presented out of concern. It was malarkey.
Which I had, then a chill went down my spine, because as we all know, if you say malarkey three times in a row, Brian Malarkey shows up and ruins everything.
Some terrible fucking hairpiece.
and like shined and buffed cheeks and more Botox than usual. So just don't ever say malarkey three times, okay? Do not.
You already said it three times. Don't say it again. I can't take him.
I won't say it again.
So Giselle's like, yeah, her trying to ignore what Michael did and blame Robin instead is classic denial. I was like, it's classic gaslighting by you, making her think this is what's happening. She's like, we're going to work through this. We're going to work through this. So now we get to go to therapy with Candace and Dorothy.
Oh, this is great. I loved this scene. So they're heading to therapy. They're driving in the car. Dorothy is clearly not happy about it, but she's like trying to play it off like she's very open to it, because she would be a hypocrite if she weren't, you know? So she's like, her voice is like oddly like bubbly and nasal. She's like, just remember, I am a professional. We are not going to curse. We're not going to hit below the belt. We're not going to try to cut the white meat. And as we all know, you can't do any of those things anyway, because I pay for your knives and your punching gloves and your ability to curse.
This is why I made sure to buy knives that couldn't cut, Candace.
And Candace is like, those are all things that you've done, mother. It's like Deandra and Mama D. And so the mom's like,
well, you just got recently married and you have your life together and it's time for me to cut off and move back.
And she's like, oh, you say that like it's a threat. Don't threaten me, mother. I'm like, yeah, she's saying it's time for her to stop supporting you. It's not a threat, okay? You're a fucking adult. Get a job.
Yeah, the fact that you perceive that as a threat shows that you're projecting certain issues. The mom is... Mom's like, you know what? I'm realizing I should not be supporting you as much anymore, because you have a husband and look at what's going on. And you could just see Candace, like, as she's driving, her hand is like fiddling in the center console, like,
yeah.
Mother, where's my tissue square, mother? Where's my tissue square? Oh, those, you mean the things I just threw out the window? Mother!
And the mom's like, okay, so this is therapy. Well, thanks, Giselle. Thanks, Giselle, for this referral, you know. And they're just fuming at each other. So the doctor, yeah, Dr. Ken's
Dr.
like,
Ken.
He's like, hi, you must be, God, Giselle.
Who is this? Who showed up at my door while I was making macaroni and cheese? Who is this?
She's like, Mom, my name is Candy Ass, okay? And so they come in, and the mom's like, oh, I'm a therapist also. And he's like, well, I'm very excited that you've chosen to take this time with me, people I don't know. So go ahead. Here's some ground rules. Only one person can speak at a time, okay? And now this is a big one, because in this setting, you're not the therapist.
And Dorothy is like, ha, I'm very cool with that. I'm cool. I'm just going to smile. I'm very fine with that. I'm cool with that. Yeah, no problem. I'll speak in turn.
Don't talk. I was talking. Okay, so Dr. Ken didn't do a very good job here. Okay, I don't think. What did you think? I was like, Dr. Ken, I don't think so, sir. Okay, she's sitting there being totally bitchy, and this woman has a right to defend herself on national TV.
Yeah, but I mean, He had an uphill battle. I mean, here's the thing. She has a right to defend herself, but the rules are... I mean, it's therapy at the same time, or ostensibly therapy. And you have to let one person just at least say how they feel about a situation. And then the mom will get her chance to defend herself. But yeah, so Candace is basically like, when you get upset, you'll say things like, you don't have many friends. You'll say things like, do you like this Chanel purse? How about on your cheek?
Have the Chanel purse right on your cheek. and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was interrupting as Dorothy. I shouldn't.
No, it fit. It fit. And Dr. Ken's like, this is
trying to moisturize your cheek with my Chanel purse. I mean, what is so wrong with that?
How do you feel about this Louis Vuitton bag? Do you think you might want to see it closer? How about this close, right up in your eyes, directly on them?
Nothing kisses you like a Chanel.
So the doctor's like, excuse me, this is Candace time. And the mom's like, well, she's the one who does all this, not me. And he's like, you're doing it again. She's like,
okay, yeah. Dr. Ken. Okay, Dr. Ken.
I mean, you and Chris want me to keep paying all these bills, $4,000 a month, but you want me to be quiet and not have anything to say, and which it's, well, I mean, just because you pay the $4,000 does not mean that you really, doesn't mean that you're therefore entitled. If you're giving that $4,000, that's a gift, right? So no. You should, you know?
No, I disagree. I think that you have a total right. If she paid for that house, she probably paid the down payment of that house, let's be honest. And now she's paying them $4,000 a month to cover their bills and their mortgage. So yeah, she has a right. If you don't want your parents to not talk about how much money they're giving you, get a job.
No, I mean, I think that she has a right to say, okay, this is what you should be doing to become financially independent. But I don't think it, therefore, that money entitles her to have an opinion on every single little thing. But then again, they're sort of speaking abstractly, so it's hard to really know what this opinion situation is about. I mean, is this still like from the wedding, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But either way, I mean, but Darth, you know, basically Dorothy is like fuming and trying to remain calm, and she keeps interrupting, and Dr. Ken is getting mad. He finally is like, I don't know if this is how you normally communicate, but that's not healthy, okay?
Yeah, he's like, this is the problem. And then Candace is like, well, we went to a wedding and it got physical. And she goes,
that didn't happen, Candace. That didn't happen.
And he's like, excuse me, ma'am. And she's like,
that didn't happen. You don't have to bring that up, Candace.
She thought in her anger, she should hit me in the head with her purse. Which,
well, Candace, you're lucky because the purse wasn't very heavy on account of me having to spend all my money on you.
Then she's like, that's not true. You don't need to bring that out. It's not true. And then Candace is like, you said, when it happened, you said, now what did you say to make me do that? Okay.
Yeah. I count with Candace, because Candace is sitting here crying like she's in this big abuse storyline now. Like, it got physical. Well, like, just 5 minutes ago, we were watching you having to be restrained multiple times and throwing a knife at somebody. Okay.
I do believe that Dorothy is kind of a nightmare, okay, but they're both nightmares. And the thing is this, is that Candace, she was like, see, there's never any accountability. Like, she hits me and then she says, now what did you say to make me do that? There's no accountability. I'm like, that may be a fair point, but there's also not a lot of accountability on your end either.
Yeah, and the doctor's either like, why are you crying? Why are you crying, Candace? And the mom goes,
she always does.
And she's like, you diminish me. She goes, I do not. And he goes, if she said that you like to diminish her, then you do like to diminish her. I was like, is that how it works now?
Well, no, he didn't say that. He actually said, if your daughter says you like to diminish me, then that's reality. As in, like, you can't tell her what, like, if she's feeling that, you can't say that she's not feeling that.
Well, her response is, well, I'm not going to let her come on here and paint me as a villain when I'm taking care of her this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay, to be fair to your mother, in this season of her life, is your mother paying your bills? And it's like,
yes!
She goes, the only thing that you contribute is a portion of the mortgage. I'm like, bitch, what? That's a portion of the mortgage. That means, yes, she is supporting you.
Yeah, let's go back to that $4,000 number and break down where that goes, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, $4,000. And soon you won't have to do that anymore. And that's all you do. That is all you do. And the fact that you'll sit there and lie and say you pay all my bills, that is a form of diminishing me. I'm like, that is a form of her diminishing her bank account. Okay?
Yeah.
Darth, if she's giving Darth you $4,000, like, you're like nitpicking on what she's spending that $4,000 a month on instead of the fact that it's $4,000 a month. I mean, that's crazy.
And Dorothy's like, you're the one who's telling everyone that. Not me. I'm not the one talking about how much I support you.
Yeah, which is true.
Yeah, so Candace is like, I am sick of talking to a wall. I'm talking to nobody. I'm talking to nobody. And she's like literally standing by a wall, like talking. Like, no, Candace, come back to the couch.
Candace, you literally are talking to a wall, okay?
We can solve this easily.
Yeah.
When you need to talk, don't walk up to a wall and talk at it.
Yeah, and so the mom's like, look, this. So you want to rage all over me, but then when I want to talk to you and say you're disrespectful, then you don't want to hear about it. And the doctor's like, you're not doing a good job of listening to your daughter. If that is how you talk, then I understand why there is turbulence on this airplane in the season of your life of relationship flight schools. It's like,
by the way, does anyone have a chair with a back on it? I'm getting a little sick of having this very intense posture. Anyone? Anyone?
So Candace is like, I'm no longer interested in dealing with toxicity. And if this doesn't change, I cannot continue. But please do not cancel your auto pay on my mortgage, because that would suck.
I mean, to me, it seems like a very simple fix, right? Like, obviously, the money situation is what's creating darkness in their relationship. So, like, Dorothy should cut off her funding, and then they should be financially independent, and they can take that issue out, and then it should be fine. But, of course, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about the Carpman drama triangle, which our listener Michelle told us about. And in that triangle, it basically says, like, when there's drama, there's like three roles that are like that take place. There's the perpetrator. I think it's the perpetrator, persecutor, the rescuer, and the victim. And Candace is like, to me as a non-psychiatrist, it seems pretty obvious that Candace is the victim and the mom is like the rescuer. And one of the things that I read about when I was fascinated by this is that the rescuer swoops in to like save the victim, but ultimately has no interest in truly saving them because they want to perpetuate the drama. So like the fund, like giving Candace the money is in a way like, oh, I'm here to help you while you get on your feet. But she's actually keeping her sort of like indebted to her. I don't know who is the persecutor, probably both of them and like all the other women on the show. But I'm like very into just applying that theory to everything on Bravo these days. So that's my two cents.
Well, to me, sometimes therapy is a lot easier and psychology is a lot easier. Like, Candace, you're a dick. And mom, you're a dick too. So if you both stop being dicks to each other, then this can change. Okay. And also, you know, the old standby, get a job. So that's what I say.
Get a job.
Yeah.
You know that I think at the end of the day, that's really where this needs to go. Get a job.
Yeah. Candace needs to get a job and the mom needs to get a life that doesn't involve, you know, her daughter's dramas.
Also, they're like all this drama is about like the mortgage on a very unremarkable townhouse. Like, how about just like move somewhere that's more affordable? Robin did it.
Yeah. So then we go to Ashley getting her makeup done for Gay Pride. And she's like, this is so different from Miss America. I might be classy, but I can twerk like the best of them. I'm like, we know. We remember your first episode.
Yeah, exactly. And she's going to be wild. She's going to get blue eyeshadow. So then meanwhile, on a party bus, Robin and Giselle and Cal are heading to Virginia Pride to support Ashley. And Robin is not only there to support Ashley, but she's also there to support purple people because she's wearing a purple wig. See?
Yeah.
Whether it's M&Ms, purple people, homosexuals, I'm here to march. It's like,
So she's like, well, you know, the party was crazy. And Giselle's like, yeah, well, you know, well, here's how it started. Cala. Ashley walked in and gave some funny shade. You know, she said, I love your mom's house, which was shade, but it was funny. But then Candace had a butter knife, and she shook it. Cal's like, wait a minute. Okay, so when you guys are saying to me that Michael, the straight man who is married, he said that he wanted to suck someone's penis, and then he makes like a dick-sucking motion with his hands.
Yeah.
And Robin's like, this is awkward, stop. And he's like, who was he talking about?
he's like, because it's me, because I'll be fine with that. Oh. Cal's cute. I've always really enjoyed Cal. So then Ashley FaceTimes with Giselle, and they're all happy. She's like, oh, I can't wait for you to come. Da, 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 da. And then Giselle, like, turns the camera around and is like, look who else is here supporting purple people.
And Ashley's mad, you know, and she's like, well, I did invite both of them, but I don't know why Robin would come after being so mean to me. And so Robin's like, well, I can understand her being confused because, like, I didn't get to explain, you know. We can talk about why it came up and why I didn't bring it up to her first. I mean, I don't care if he's gay.
Yeah.
And Giselle goes, well, I think what she's really mad about is how it came up. I'm like, you are how it came up. You, man. So we are now at Gay Pride, where Ashley is with Casanova, her brother, to sing the famous chart-topping hit, Coffee, Love, and Purple People.
Purple. Coffee and purple people like it hot. It's best with sugar when it's on top.
And Giselle's trying to be supportive, but she's Giselle. So she's like, this is the best sibling-composed love song to a husband who wants to suck a penis that you've ever seen. Or heard. It's all very confusing to me.
Yeah. We'll put that pull quote on the singles cover. Give that blurb to Pitchfork.
Now here is Kelly Clarkson to present the award for best sibling composed love song to a husband who wants to suck a penis that you've ever seen or heard.
It'll be a new category in the crappies. So Ashley's like, I have fans who are excited to see me, and who knows, maybe I could go on to being a major world tour sometime soon.
Wow, I'm so proud of Ashley. She really is Beyonce. Lemonade made with penises. Listen, when life sends you husbands who want to suck penises, you make penisade. Right?
So and drink coffee, it up. Apparently.
And purple people.
Shut up, Robin.
No, purple people have rights too. I'm sick of seeing those Sunny D commercials where they just disparage purple drink.
So now it's after the show, and Robin and Ashley, like, Ashley comes up and, like, is, like, saying hi to them, like, thanks for coming, and she and Robin start having a conversation.
Yeah, so now, of course, it's a housewives show, so let's go to Gay Pride and then argue about how somebody's not gay at Gay Pride. Come on, guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So Ashley says that Robin was using the dinner party as an opportunity to attack her. And Robin, at that moment, should have just said, like, no, here's what happened. But then instead she goes, did you not hear what Giselle said? That, like, it started with Candace speaking, and then she said, Robin will tell the rest? I'm like, Robin, that's not how you defend yourself. That's, like, confusing, and it does not de-escalate anything. If anything, it sort of escalates it.
Yeah. And Giselle's like, they're talking about me. Yeah. And Cal's like, just stay out of the conversation, Giselle, for one time in your life.
He's like, I don't want to have to sit and listen to you complain about this conversation for the next three blowouts.
Yeah. So Ashley's like, well, Candace is saying insulting things about my life, and you added on to it. She's like, how? I'm like, by co-signing. She said, here's a false document, and now you're co-signing it.
It's like, yeah. Robin, don't co-sign lies, okay? That really happened.
Here's what I do co-sign. Old houses that will be worth $500 by the time I'm done with them. That I will co-sign.
I don't co-sign. My mother, however, co-signs.
So she's like, here's this girl who has no problem talking shit about other people's life. And then we get a beautiful montage of Ashley getting into everybody's business. And I have to say, this is true. Ashley's a little too defensive over this. Like, this is what you've done all of your time on this show. Your turn.
Yeah, exactly. So basically Ashley just, like, goes off on Robin and is like, there's obviously no friendship between the two of us, and they were not real friends, blah, 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 and then she storms off.
Yeah, and Robin's like, well, how is this fair? If everything else is on the table, why wouldn't this be able to be on the table? And she's like, but you know that everyone's always trying to make him look gay? And Robin's like, you're at a gay pride festival, why would it bother you? I hate purple, look, I just did it. So stupid. Yeah. But then it looks like next week is done. Next week is when the news comes out about Michael grabbing a cameraman's butt.
Yep. Not going to help. Not going to help the situation.
Yeah. So I'm wondering how much of this, because in this episode, Ashley was saying, well, he's so mad that he doesn't want me hanging out with these friends anymore. So she's trying to make it like, well, that's why Michael's not coming back on the show. But I think Michael was kicked off of the show after this cameraman thing happened. So I'm not really sure if she's trying to get ahead of that. No pun intended. Or what. But interesting to see. What a fun episode.
I know. So good. Potomac's really heating up. It's like back in its groove. So I'm really excited.
Everybody, thank you so much for being here. For more, we've got live shows coming up. Atlanta goes on pre-sale Wednesday, and you can find the way to do that over on our website, watchwithcrappins.com, as well as ticket links for all of our other live shows, our Crappins On Demand videos, t-shirts, bonus episodes. Whoa. What other women? Thank you for everybody who does support us. We love you so much. Bye.
Bye.